That's in the air, this could be out. Jarvan's underneath it, will he catch it? He's got good hands, he's got him, yes he has. Jarvan's got him in the deep. Having fumbled all night, he's taken the big one.
Hello and welcome to Couch Talk. The guest today is Shoaib Naveed, who is the project manager of the Pakistan Super League PSL. We discuss his story from being a blogger to running the PSL, the organizational difficulties faced in conceptualizing and realizing the PSL, the pros and cons of it, and a look at its future, amongst other things. Welcome to the show, Shoaib.
Hi, Subhash. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. First off, congrats on realizing a personal dream, you know. So why don't you tell us briefly about your journey of becoming Pakistan Super League's project manager from, say, a student blogger that you were?
It's actually, yeah, quite a long story. When I last came on your podcast, I was blogging for, I think, Park Passion and Dawn. Mm-hmm. This was after I'd worked a little while after graduating from college in the U.S. I was working in the U.S. I quit my job and just randomly went to Sri Lanka. Where I kind of sneaked into the press box, and that was my first experience of interacting with cricketers live, and that was such a great experience that I wanted to pursue the cricket dream further, which led me to New Zealand, where I interned with the New Zealand Cricket Players Association. And I also was coaching junior cricket in a club in Auckland. Mm-hmm. From there, I covered the India-Australia tour where I met you. Mm-hmm. And I was writing and covering for Dawn at that time. My student loans were piling up, so I, like a sane person, decided to take on more student loans. Enrolled in a master's program in Australia at Griffith University because the dream was always to do something related to cricket with a specifically Pakistan cricket, but really it was, getting into cricket administration was the main thing. Which is why I chose Australia. But after the first semester, didn't really enjoy the program there much and realized that what they were teaching was mostly what the U.S. is doing. Mm. Because when it comes to sports business and sports management, the U.S. is light years ahead of everybody else. Mm-hmm. So, and since I had studied there and was living in the U.S. already, I was like, why am I, studying here when I could be getting a much better education back home? Which is when I transferred the program to Georgetown. Yeah. This was about 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. That really, was my entry into the world of commercial sports and getting experience in franchise sports. I was working full time with the NFL Players Association a master's in the.
I was just going to ask you that. So you get a degree in sports management. You interned with the National Football League, when in the degree you wrote a your thesis and which be turned into a position paper for the PCB. Could you in terms of setting up the PSL, could you talk about the position paper?
Yeah. So basically the master's program at Georgetown was really a great experience because they had a very strong practical component to it. So I was working full time with the NFL Players Association, and then also I worked full time with Monumental Sports and Entertainment, which owns both the NBA side in Washington DC, mm-hmm. the Washington Wizards, and the ice hockey side, the Capitals.
Yeah.
So, I worked in the licensing and development department and the sponsorship department. So got a good feeler of how, the commercial side of things work in American sports. At the same time, they also had the last semester, you had to work on your thesis, And since the, like, even though I was working in American sports, the dream was always to, you know, get into cricket. And Pakistan being a very, you know, a diehard sort of Pakistan cricket fan, mm-hmm. I chose the Pakistan Super League at that time because that was a project that had now, at that time, had been tried two times and, you know, it hadn't come to fruition. The cricket world was, you know, it has been slowly shifting towards franchise sports and T20 leagues. Mm-hmm. And Pakistan was a country that should, like to me, it was a no-brainer that it should have a league of its own. Mm-hmm. But for various reasons, had not been able to so far, which is why I wrote my position paper. It's actually, I think you might have gone through it.
Yeah.
It's quite different from what
transpired
has actually transpired. But I would like to believe, and we might talk about this further later on, it can be something that, you know, the league builds towards later on.
Let's pick up the story where, you know, you make the sales pitch to PCB about PSL, your vision of it, and obviously it has gone through, as we said, you know, it has transpired to be something else beyond or different from what you originally visualized to be.
Yeah.
So can we talk about that? The problems, the things that you had to deal with in first getting a foot in the door at PCB and convincing them. Because as we have seen in the last, I don't know, since ever PCB has been around, it's tough handling, you know, PCB and the changes within there.
Yeah. So getting into the PCB was actually not the hard part. I was determined, you know, once I was doing the thesis, I was determined that, you know, I have to, you know, come kind of work towards this. Before I had actually completed the thesis project, I had visited Pakistan and I met with Mr. Salman Sabirbhat, who eventually became the project director as well. I had interviewed Subhan Ahmed, who was the CEO. Then through my, like, Pace Yar friends, you know about Pace Space Yar,
yeah, and
Pakistan, you know, cricket-related podcast with a lot of the journalists who also write for Cricket Info and other, you know, mm-hmm. established media cricket outlets. So, you know, through them, I got in touch with Mr. Nadim Sethi, and he just had a phone conversation with him, and I, like, told him about myself and, you know, how I'd been working on the project.
How long ago was this? When you first made contact with the society?
This was like 2014 August, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, 2014 August or September, around then. And at that time, I mean, I just had the conversation, telling him that I would be interested in working. And then I also approached Shahryar Khan through a mutual friend who was at LUMS, mm-hmm. right? So Shahryar Khan also teaches at LUMS. So I passed on my thesis project to them. I guess they realized that, you know, I have some sort of experience in the field, and I've also, like, have academic experience on this.
Okay.
So they were pretty open to the idea of me coming in, but, like, it was up to me because I had also been offered a job at that time with the NFL Players Association.
Mm.
So that was actually quite a difficult decision to make, like a big risk to take, because
one is, you know, a guaranteed, like, one, another one you have never know.
Yeah, it was like it wasn't like you're guaranteed a job. It was just like, you know, yeah, come over, we'll see, like that sort of thing.
Mm.
So, and like NFL, it's the NFL, right?
Yeah, of course.
So, but yeah, but the thing was, like, since graduating from college till the end of my master's program, I had been 5 years, and I'd been working towards this, like, you know, goal towards working in cricket and working for or towards Pakistan cricket.
Hmm.
And the opportunity was knocking, so I, like, I took that leap of faith and came to Pakistan. And actually, like, you know, as it turned out, I met with Mr. Sethi and Mr. Sharia Khan and the other people in the PCB and started working in the marketing department quite quickly after I came to Pakistan. Like, it was within weeks that I was working within the PCB.
Okay. Let's talk about how the nuts and bolts of the PSL itself was set up. You know, as you said, it's different from your vision.
So you were talking about the issues that were there.
First of all, in terms of venues, you know, where you're going to host it, because in position paper you had suggested half the games in Pakistan, half the games in UAE.
Before that, though, I would like to touch on why, like, the PSL, like, did not, actually come to fruition beforehand. Like, PCB, and it's not like, you know, the PCB, like, people within the PCB's fault as much as the fact that, you know, international cricket has not been in Pakistan for a long time.
Correct.
So, like, there's a natural development that has taken place in places like India, where, you know, the, like, it's not just the players that suffer. It's the whole industry that suffers when you know, cricket is not taking place here. Like, how to manage mega events, right? There's so many other aspects. And like, PCB is extremely strong when it comes to cricket operations, right? Because they've been holding series and hosting tours, and whether that be in Pakistan or the UAE, since whenever, right? But like, actually, like, coming up and doing a whole like mega event like the Pakistan Super League is not something that they had experienced personnel in, and which is why there was the hesitancy within the board also at that time. And the major thing at that time was that, you know, the PCB should outsource the project to a more, which is a model that, you know, the Sri Lankan Premier League tried and failed. And the Caribbean Premier League has tried and it is working for them, or at least till now it is working for them. So, and the Pakistan Cricket Board wanted to do something similar. But in my mind, I was pretty set, and like others like Mr. Salman Sabhabhat, and then like our marketing director Naila Bhatti and all, there was a strong sense that, you know, we should do this ourselves because this is what is going to benefit us or Pakistan Cricket more if we do it ourselves in the long term. Just outsourcing it to a third party to run the whole thing might not, like, you know, it might be easier. It might be the shortcut, like, easy way out. But, like, it wouldn't serve the purpose that, you know, the larger purpose that you're trying to serve with such a league, which is not just commercial gain, but, like, you know, the growth of business, the cricket as a business in this country, and the grassroots development that will eventually come in, 5-10 years down the line. So all those aspects, it was important that Pakistan Cricket Board did this tournament themselves. And by that, I don't mean like, you know, everything is done by the Pakistan Cricket Board. You had to hire like specific people, which is what we did eventually, to do the job. And like, other consultants were brought in, and then management companies were brought in. But, you know, the core team should be something that the Pakistan Cricket Board is running from within instead of handing the rights to somebody else. So, and credit here to, Mr. Sethi in that, because he was fine both ways. So it took a bit of convincing, but, we brought on, a pretty reputed company in Repucom to, serve as, our global consultants on the project. And they with leagues all across the world.
What was the timeline on this?
So basically, when I came in was November 2014. I joined the PCB. January is when I think the PCB actually formed a committee to decide who to outsource the league to.
Okay.
Which is not something that I was in favor of. Then certain meetings took place, with Shahryar Khan, Mr. Salman Sabhabhat, Mr. Nadim Sethi and all. and conversations started to take place, trying to like judge whether, you know, outsourcing it was the best thing. I kept on pushing also that, you know, we should reconsider. And
While this is going on, obviously the main aspect of the league itself is that whether you're going to host all the games in Pakistan or all the games, say, UAE, which you did eventually, or you know, split up of games. Like, when was that decision made, and you know, what was what went on there in the decision making?
Yeah, so like there were there was a lot of to and fro on this. The first time when the PSL, this was back in 2012, I think, late 2011, and then 2012 when the project was trying to get launched at that time, I think the PCB had decided to just keep it completely local. But the thing was, the foreign players were extremely hesitant.
Obviously.
And by hesitant, I mean like, they didn't want to come at all. People don't know this, and you know, maybe we haven't done a great job of conveying this, but actually at that time, and by at that time I mean currently, we also, like, you know, we tried our best to get the foreign players to Pakistan, but the like none of the foreign players were even willing to play, like, you know, a single game at that time. And that has changed after this edition. And even when I've talked to the players and like all, like you're all the commentators and all, and there's this, you know, change in, you know, mindset where they're like, okay, yeah, we might come for a game or two games. But, you know, no foreign players, no, none of the big stars there would have meant that this is just like a, this is just like a, you know, a spruced up Faisal Bank T20 tournament, or, you know, some of that nature that is already going on. And
so what, let me interrupt you there. So once, because, you know, you already have a domestic T20 competition, so if you're going to do a Super League, then it has to be much beyond that, and you may need international player participation. And since they were not interested in playing in Pakistan even for a game, as you said, so that did that mean the decision was basically made for you that you had to go outside of Pakistan to host the PSL?
See, the like at the end of the day, as much as anything, the PSL on leagues like this are commercial products.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
And it comes down to the financial model and for it to make sense financially for the board, because that is what the aim is, apart from, you know, all the other things that come with it. And the broadcasters and the sponsors and all that money that comes in, is they're not willing to, you know, open up their purses to the same extent just for the Pakistani players, right? It's actually the Chris Gayles and the Shane Watsons and the Kevin Petersons that make the broadcasters and the sponsors go like, okay, yeah, this is a product that is worth, you know, supporting, and we, like, you know, open up our purses, and the PCB will stand to gain financially, if not the first year, then second year or third year down. And so, and that is something that was, you know, of primary importance, which is why the foreign players were such a key aspect of it, which is why the timeline goes like, you first try to convince the foreign players to come to Pakistan, right? Also, you have to convince your own security within Pakistan. And all the agencies, like, if we are capable of doing something like this. And we had hosted Zimbabwe, and I was a part of the Zimbabwe tour as well, right, when that took place. And that was a massive, massive exercise. The amount of security that was given to Zimbabwe was, like, mind-blowing. It was just, you know, insane. Basically, Lahore was kind of shut down for a week, the main artery, because that's where Tarafi Stadium is. And that's one of the major cities in your country. You can't afford to do that for, like, you know, an entire tournament, a month-long tournament, and the amount of money that was that goes into the that sort of security is just insane, and you know, financially, basically, not possible to sustain for the PCB. So these are all factors that come into play, and you know, even this, at that time, given the risk involved and the amount of coordination and just how expansive and exercise the security for Zimbabwe was, the security agencies and the local authorities at that time were like, you know, maybe we should reconsider like even doing the PSL in Pakistan, you know, for the first year. Like, plus that there's always the risk, right? Like already the one of the major problems with the PSL was that it wasn't a brand you were building from zero. It was a brand you were actually coming, bringing from negative to zero, and then, like, you know, taking into positive territory, because it had failed twice. If you had held the tournament in Pakistan, and God forbid something had happened, right? Or something had happened in the build up to it, that your entire tournament again gets cancelled, right? And that is not a risk that the PCB could have taken, or Pakistan cricket could have taken, right? Like, scrap this tournament, like, come so close and get the whole tournament scrapped because of some incident that you have no control over, right?
Yeah.
And you are basically hurting the entire brand and maybe like burying it for eternity. So, you know, all these factors played a huge part in it. But at the end of the day, the league will be the, like, actually reach its, you know, true potential when it is back in Pakistan.
Yeah, of course.
And we're seeing the situation, security situation improving immensely over the past year and a half, 2 years. It has actually gone, like, you know, become much, a year and a half, I would say, has become much better than it was before. The Zimbabwe tour was testament to that. And even, like, you know, now the players, after the interaction with our local players, the international players, and the interaction with our local players, and how the PSL team, I've talked to the commentators a lot during this tournament, and all of them, there's this sense, you know, like, this belongs back in Pakistan, and they're more willing to, you know, explore that opportunity from maybe next edition or the third year onwards.
Yeah, I mean, there has been a proof of concept in two ways. One, that PCB is able to hold a franchise-based T20 competition, even though it was in UAE. And then there is also proof of concept that you could hold international players and matches with the Zimbabwe tour. Now you have to marry those two things. And obviously, as you said, the financial, whether it is financially viable to spend so much on the security and risking the future of not just PSL, but Pakistan cricket hosting. So, I mean, I understand players have said, but obviously players have expressed interest, commentators have, but the proof will be in the pudding when you're moving actually gradually towards that goal. We'll cross the bridge when we get there.
But plus also, like, major factor now are the franchisees, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the PCB that is going to make that decision. You have these five big, you know, commercial entities that are now attached to the league and the sport in Pakistan. And that in their own way is going to help. Because, you know, the interaction of the franchisees and how they've been able to build themselves up in a matter of months has been extremely encouraging. And they build their own relationships with their players. And maybe they can do a better job even than, you know, the PCB. And the PCB has done a decent job with with how they've handled the international players. We haven't, like, it was a major concern for us how, you know, player payment were handled in other leagues, right? And that caused problems. So we didn't want any of those issues to come up with the PSL, because that damages the brand. So that is something that we kept in mind. And, like, you know, if we keep the players happy, and we can ensure that the security situation improves, and if we see more international tours taking place in Pakistan, which is a possibility in this year even, like, there are talks going on within the ICC that, you know, there are further, like, another team might come, and final decisions that have been made on this, but there is a lot of work going on this, and the security situation within the country is improving. So, like, yeah, it's marrying those two. Like, you know, you've got the foreign players, you've got the Zimbabwe to tour as well, and you know that you can hold this event, and as soon as you get this back, the better it is for the league and Pakistan cricket in general.
Of course. Let's talk about the league itself. You know, you've made the basic groundwork of, okay, we're going to have this league. You're going to have five franchises, etc. I'm guessing, and it's going to be held in UAE. What were the problems that, as a project manager, that you had to deal with in terms of, first, the skepticism within the board itself, because they haven't held a major event like this, as you mentioned. Two, within the Pakistani media itself. Let's talk about, and the skepticism, you know, it's probably healthy, unwarranted sometimes. Let's talk about that. What you had to deal with as the project manager.
Yeah. See, the skepticism within the board, I wouldn't say it was unwarranted or, you know, like it wasn't justified. Because you've tried to launch this product twice and you failed, you know, like there's so many external, like, and now that I've gone through that entire journey, like at the beginning, if you would have asked me, like if I just freshly joined the PCB, I would have been like, oh no, they're making the wrong decision. This is not like, but like having worked through the hurdles and seeing what sort of complications have come through, you know, you needed like crazy people to be working on that team to get this thing through. There were strong points about the PCB, which like they have handled extremely well, but there was other points that, you know, they were lacking in, which was supplemented by the PSL T20 team. Like they were extremely strong in logistics and operational work, right? All the cricket related aspects to it, because they have the experience in that. But the PSL T20 team was able to, you know, supplement it in terms of the commercials, in terms of the, you know, whatever the marketing that we were allowed to do, given the restraints and the cautious nature that was taken. Because at the end of the day, we are a board that is not holding in games at home. We are not playing India, right? There are legitimate financial concerns to keep the board afloat and in a profit, which is why like you can't go completely crazy with your spend for such a tournament. Correct. Plus there is this massive skepticism around the league, and this is a general thing within the country with anything new. Plus it being a semi-government organization, like it's always resistant to change. You know, there's this massive negativity around anything that's new and is, you know, trying to like reach for something big, because it's you're engulfed with, you know, oh, that's not possible. What are you trying to do? The media, like actually you had to, it kind of spurred you on, honestly, because the level of sports media is very, very, like I would put it quite harshly, like quite low, the quality of coverage that, you know, sports gets in Pakistan, especially electronic TV media that covers sports. So you have to block that off and use that as actually a spurring, as a trigger to, you know, to work harder and to achieve that goal that, you know, yes, you've said that you will do this league and this team has to deliver. And we worked like, you know, from day night, actually. Like, you know, there were 24-hour days for the past 6 months. It's been like a heck of a ride for the entire team. Eventually pulled through. So that's the most rewarding bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You've made it happen. And, you know, the final was a sight to behold. And you can see the benefits in terms of players mingling with, you know, international superstars, current players and former players. We've been written, story has been written a few times. All that, the positives are obvious, easy to see, but there are some criticisms as well. I want to address that. One of the early criticism was that, you know, you are connecting in Dubai, and it wasn't, and you know, the MCL, Master Champions League, was running parallel to it, and they had more visibility than PSL. And there was an article on Cricket Info as well that highlighted that point. Why wasn't there more push towards making it more visible, perhaps, in Dubai?
So, yeah.
So basically, the board of governors of the BCB, when we like had to get this approved, this project approved, was under the thing that, you know, this should not be a loss-making thing for the BCB.
Okay.
And that is some, that is a pretense that we were working in. Our financial model is all based around that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not like, you know, completely unwarranted because of the like two things that I've said before. Like, we're not holding tournaments at home, we're not playing India, right? Like, it's so we, actually the board has to toe the line in terms of how much it can spend on marketing expense. And the UAE, I don't know if you know this or not, but it is like extremely expensive in terms of you know, getting the massive sort of marketing campaign out there that the MCL was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, we like honestly did not care for like what the MCL was doing, because they like, to us, like our product was strong, and it it was like current cricketers, it was Pakistan cricket had been playing in the UAE since, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, right?
Yeah.
So we've been there. We this league was has been awaited by the fans since the IPL launched. Like, let's be honest, like Pakistan, I think I was going through old like threads on Pod Passion and saw
There are two aspects to that fan thing. One is the following on television in Pakistan, which it's whether you're holding it in Pakistan or somewhere else in the world, it doesn't really matter. You're going to get that as long as it's a Pakistani product. Two, but it's about the people in UAE itself.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
If you're not promoting the league, in addition to that, they are working 6 days a week. Right. The Dubai Stadium is not the most easily accessible ground in the world. Were there apprehensions of local support?
Definitely.
There?
The thing was, we were never, like, from the get-go, you're never operating under, like, ideal circumstances.
Mm.
When your league, a Pakistan Super League, is happening in the UAE, you're not dealing in ideal circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there was this apprehension that, is anybody going to show up, right? It's city-based franchise. And, like, some of the crowds in Dubai on weekdays have been extremely disappointing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But more so than what, you know, I would have imagined. And, like, I was being skeptical, like, I was quite skeptical on the crowds on weekdays as well. But like, the turnouts that we got in Sharjah were even beyond like my imagination. Then, like, you know, for some of the games in Dubai, it was amazing. The final was amazing. The Peshawar Zalmi and Quetta Gladiators game, really good. And that's like testament to the fact that, you know, Pakistan cricket is a brand of its own, even though if it's not being built like that, it's just like it has that strength to lure in its fans anywhere in the world. And coming back to the aspect why, like, we didn't spend that much, it has to be understood, like, you know, from the, like, how does it work? Like, where does a spend come in when you're creating a brand? The major spend comes in from broadcasters.
Mm.
And it is the Pakistani sports broadcasting space is, not ideal. Even our entire, like, if you look at our deal, we are actually airing the PSL on all of the three parks, on PTV Sports, 10 Sports, Jio Super, all our local channels, and by leasing airtime from them, and then selling that commercial airtime on the airtime bought from those channels to a media agency, which is an arrangement that I've not seen anywhere else in the world. But like, these are circumstances that we have to work with because of, the broadcasting space not being mature in terms of, how it is elsewhere, maybe in the US and India, where, you know, the sports broadcasters are quite professional, and the amount of money that is being, that they're able to generate create and give to the sports body is much more. The brand is built by, like, the BCCI brand, the Team India brand is built by Star Sports, or the IPL brand is built by Sony. It's not built by the BCCI. That the major spend is actually coming in from the broadcasters and the sponsors and all. And this is something that is extremely new to Pakistan. And given our broadcasting, arrangement, and the thing is, this is not something that is in the PCB's hand. It is a larger battle that needs to be fought and solved in the long term for actual commercial strength to, you know, take hold in the sports business in Pakistan. So, you know, like, these are all things that people kind of brush aside or don't realize when you know, they kind of critique on, you know, there should have been more exposure in terms of marketing. Like, the PCB did not do enough. The thing is, like, it's not the governing body's job to do that. The governing body's job is, like, it should, you know, sell the, like, it sells the rights to the broadcast. They make the brand or, you know, the sponsors and all.
But considering this is such a unique situation, unique crossroad in Pakistani cricket itself. You know, it typically, it's a broadcaster's job to promote the league or whatever sporting product that is. But considering the uniqueness of this particular situation, because you're holding Pakistani Super League in the UAE. So that's where I'm wondering why. I mean, and you talked about the finances.
So, like, whatever, like, I'll tell you, like, whatever the PCB could afford, right? They spent in terms of marketing. But the thing was, like, we couldn't, like, actually the PCB couldn't afford much given the circumstances that PC, like, the board is in. And the PSL is going to help in terms of that, right? Like, once this product has launched and this first edition has happened and the franchisees have come on board, now, like, you know, you can maybe from next year onwards, you know, see that, you know, they'll be able to afford a bigger spend when it comes to marketing. And the franchisees are going to jump in. But the thing was, there was so much skepticism around the whole league in the media, within, like, the board, that, you know, it was always a cautious approach. It was always like, you know, what if we, like, if you're going to end up spending so much and nothing happens, and, you know, you're completely, you know, you've completely kind of burying the whole product again.
Correct.
So,
it's a fair thing to be skeptical as well. You know, it's, I mean, I understand what you're trying to achieve here, and you should be supported and be appreciative of all the efforts that you're putting in. But at the same time, it's, as we said, you know, it's not unwarranted skepticism considering it has failed twice to launch. The ground realities of how things work, not just Pakistan, in the subcontinent itself, you can take at some human personal level, how things work, a lot more safety first approach. It's not that far-fetched to think that.
Yeah, but it's just like, I mean, I agree with your general point, but it's like the more specific nature of the criticism. Like, if it's, you know, some sort of constructive, you know, thought out criticism that you're facing, or, you know, then you agree with it as well. And we got, like, some of it from, like, you know, informed quarters, but mostly, like, it was blanket, you know, just this leak cannot happen. Like, MCL is just a way better product. Like, you know, like, stuff like MCL names are based on stars. What has the PCB done?
Of course.
Like, a friend of mine was telling me, like, he was watching a show and this was one of the things they were discussing. It was like, to me and to, like most people who are Pakistan fans, like, they would know that, you know, Pakistan Super League is actually like a no-brainer that it would be a success. Like, it would be watched by the Pakistani. Like, cricket is a unifying force, and it's a cliche, but it is in this country. And like from the ratings that we're seeing, like, you know, most of the country was tuned in and watching this. And we get, and that is something that the entire team that was working on had clarity on from the start, that, you know, if you get this product off the ground, it is going to be watched and it is going to be, like, enjoyed by the people. You just have to you know, try to work as hard to cover all your bases. And, you know, given the short amount of time we had, I'm personally surprised as well that, you know, we've been able to pull it off without a major hiccup. Mm-hmm. But that's credit to the entire team and the amount of work that we've been able to put in.
Let me ask you this as well. You know, IPL as a brand, as a tournament, has been around since 2008 now. And finally, PSL has launched. It is it's almost inevitable that there would be similarities on how the PSL is projected as a product. Because, you know, if you know, why do you have to reinvent the wheel all the time, you know? Because nobody does. You know, if there is an existing model that works, you borrow some ideas from it. You know, but there were some obvious similarities that one couldn't overlook. Say, for example, your strategic timeout. And even in broadcasting side, where, you know, the constantly you cut to the owners celebrating in the dugout, their cushy sofas all right by the dugout, so on and so forth, the celebrity quotient of it, the eliminator even for the playoffs, the desi dress for the commentators. There were, you know, a lot of similarities. But however, it's still, you know, it's a Pakistani Super League. So how do you manage that, to walk that tight line where, you know, you have an existing model, at the same time you want to make it uniquely Pakistani?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, yeah, you can't help but, you know, like, I don't know if you, I'll say borrow, but it's just that it, like, a league like this is supposed to be not just cricket, it's supposed to be entertainment.
Correct.
And that is how you're pitching it to the consumer as well. And I mean, the shots to the owners and the celebrity interviews, I would say, are going to happen. Like, it's not something we would say, like, you borrow from the IPL. It's just, it would have happened anyway. The commercial, the strategic timeout thing is, you know, the broadcasting, the broadcaster, the amount of money that, you know, you're trying to get. And like I've explained to you, like, our broadcasting deal is extremely complicated, where we are actually, you know, selling the commercial airtime by buying it from the broadcaster to a media agency. The bids that we had gotten were nowhere close to keeping us sustainable from the local broadcasters.
I mean, why was that? So, why was that? Because you have cricket, it's a Pakistan cricket, which is, as you said, it's a no-brainer that it will be successful. Why were you getting low-balled like that? Any idea? Do you have any inputs on that?
Yeah. I mean, I do have an idea. And there's a whole
Feel free to share it.
No, it's just that, you know, there's a certain evolutionary process to sports broadcasting that has not occurred in the Pakistani market yet. And a lot of that has to do with the state broadcaster and its stronghold on the market. And, you know, those sort of controls have been broken in other markets such as India, where, you know, the state broadcaster has with their grip on the market, which creates a monopoly, has you know, subsided. I think there's the thing called the National Broadcasting Act, which was passed in, I think, 2007 in India, which has led to that. It's sort of an evolution that happens in the broadcasting space in countries which we are yet to experience, and is necessary, I would say, to actually commercialize the sport and take it to that level. And that's not just important for the PSL. It's important for sports in general and Pakistan cricket rights as well.
So let's get back to that uniquely Pakistani experience, entertainment experience.
So I would say we could have actually made it much, much more. Like, there's so many improvements you can make. And, like, I'll, like, not lie about it. It's just that, you know, just getting this organized and off the ground, you had to, like, sell the franchises. You had to bring on the sponsors. You had to, like, the whole broadcasting mess that was there had to be solved. Like, there's so much that was going to get to assemble the PSL team, first of all. And all of this is happening within, like, you have to
get the product off the ground with February as the date. Like you're working as against the clock. You had 6 months to do this. Mm-hmm. So you know, all these things are going to be improved upon now that we have more a year to plan it out and, you know, thresh it out. Mm-hmm. But you know, we tried certain things. We tried that truck, right?
The milestone truck. Yeah, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, which became a huge success with the fans. We did the Anda. It wasn't supposed to be a duck. It was supposed to be Anda with the thing. And you know, like different things. I would have personally really liked more emphasis on music because that's a very close thing to Pakistan. Pakistanis around and like a better mix of music and cricket, which hopefully we'll see from next season onwards because I think that's a natural fit. But the franchises did a great job. Already you're seeing music taking a prominent position in terms of how the franchises are marketing themselves. Peshawar Zalmi has a whole album out and a lot of the songs are actually quite good. Lahore has two songs. Quetta has two songs. Islamabad has their own song. So Karachi. All of them like came up with strong soundtracks and did their own like marketing and kudos to all of them. I wasn't expecting the amount of marketing that they were able to pull off within the short amount of time, because let's remember that the franchise were actually sold in mid December and they had barely like a month and a half, 2 months to get everything organized and most like just getting their whole team, the cricket team together, let alone like the marketing they were able to do, all credit to them.
There was another, mainstream criticism of the tournament itself in the fact that, you know, you had five franchises and you went through the entire tournament to eliminate one team. And there was a point at which the team that missed out, Karachi Kings, they could have made to the playoffs with a losing record. I understand cricket as a product, but there has to be a competitive side of things where it should be hard to get to the playoffs.
It's basically like why were there five teams, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because
that's fine.
I'm just going to walk you through the process, right? Like,
okay,
you have five teams. You have five teams because anything bigger than that, you want to start small. The PCB first edition, you want to keep it manageable, right? Plus, it makes with the teams that were selected, it just made sense in terms of how it was equally divided, with each province getting its representation. Mm-hmm. Plus, anything bigger than this, you wouldn't have been able to fit in the time that was there, and the time was just February. Mm-hmm. The from February 4th till February 23rd is the time that we had. There was no other time slot. There was like whole battles that were going on with the MCL. There was a New Zealand tour that was happening, and then the Asia Cup. So you just have this time, this short window that you'd fit in. Then so five teams are playing. We saw that this as a final thing, right? Like you need to the teams that qualified for the final were the qualifiers to us actually. Mm-hmm. So the playoffs are there because then you need some amount of games that can give you commercial feasibility, right? If you just do...
I understand that. The number of games, all that, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, basically you have 80% of your league going into the playoffs. For example, if you take NBA, 60% of the teams go to the playoffs roughly. Which is fine. Whatever the percentage.
To us, it is actually two teams making it. That is how we're looking at it, or like how I looked at it.
Oh, I see.
Because
like if you just do the regular round and the top two qualify, right? Mm-hmm. The number of games that are happening are not enough that the broadcaster is, or the media agency in our case, yes, is giving you enough money.
No, what, right?
The sponsors are not giving you enough money, and that is something that is extremely key to the financial model of the league.
No, my question is this. Even if you want to have certain number of games in this knockout stage and final, whatever you want to call it, there should be some value to the previous games that you have played, so that you take the
top. Of course, there was value.
What I'm saying is, but you're eliminating one team. So what I'm saying is, were there other options put on the table where you considered, let's say, the top team goes through the playoffs?
Yeah.
Two and three play each other, and then they qualify, and then the final two teams play best of three, something like that. So the number of games you can come up with. A solution, but I'm wondering whether there were other options that were considered.
Yeah, they were definitely, like, there was a regular semi-final option that was considered. There was the option that the first team qualifies, and as you just said, like, the second and third fight it out. Mm-hmm. It's just like there was a balance that had to be brought in terms of the number of games that were going to be played, which made the financial model sustainable, and also to bring that competitive level to it. And I think it brought the competitive level because we saw it like as the first team and the second team are getting, that extra chance where they play each other and go into the final. Mm-hmm. And then the basically that eliminator format that we saw in the IPL as well, mm-hmm. right? I don't think there was any time, actually, like the strength of the whole league has been the cricket, and the fact that there were no games that were competitive or didn't have,
okay,
yeah, non-consequential. Okay. Every game was actually consequential, that really helped us out, and like that was the power of both like the format that we had and the fact that the draft was extremely key in terms of keeping the cricket competitive throughout, because the teams were of almost like, equal strength. It wasn't like a case where, Karachi or Lahore are the more expensive teams. They were able to get the better players. It was based on a more equitable sort of model, which is by the draft.
PSL only recently ended, but has there been talk already going on in the background of possibly having more franchises, because cities like Lahore and Karachi can support more than one?
Yeah. So, there are a lot of other cities that will want a team and are certainly have the populations to, deserve teams. The thing is, again, commercially, it comes to the point where it makes much more sense where you build the brand and then you are able to derive, commercial gain from it by selling the other teams at a higher rate, and that eventually helps the league and Pakistan cricket, because the money is coming back in and then getting divided amongst a central pool and is going into the PCB, which can then be spent towards domestic cricket, the first class cricket, and the grassroots development of the game. But there is definitely, the model right now is like maybe refine what we have right now for second year, and the third year the addition of another team, and then another team the year after that.
Okay.
And I think cap it at around 8. But of course, like, who knows where cricket is going to be in 5-6 years, right?
That's true. Like, I want to ask you a couple of questions from listeners, and then I'll let you go, Shoaib. First one is from Wahid Mirza, and the question is, why didn't you have any broadcasters in India? What was the problem there?
Again, like the skepticism in the market against the PSL was so much that we suffered a lot in terms of the amount of values that broadcasters were willing to give, or like they were, like there was like disbelief in amount of in what the PSL as a brand could be, and the values that were being given by so in India, Sony was showing the MCL, right? Mm-hmm. Star Sports already had too much on their plate.
Yeah, of course.
and the values being given by the broadcasters were something that would have set a very poor precedent for the PSL.
I see.
Would have resulted in, you know, setting the bar too low.
So you went in for a short-term pain for a long-term gain.
Yeah, exactly. You have to sometime, and then we made sure that it was available online on Cricket Gateway. All of us tried extremely hard.
So, considering the success that PSL has been this year, as an entertainment product, cricket product, etc. Do you see it being broadcast on regular channels in India?
Yeah, already. The global rights holder is now, like, after the success of this season, has already has offers for from next year onwards. It has helped keeping. Okay.
Short-term pain, long-term pain. Okay. Yeah. Finally, I want to ask you one last question, and this is coming from Clive Vanillawala, and the security situation is obviously out of your hands, you know, PCB, PSL, you as a project manager, so on and so forth. But where do you see the league in 4 to 5 years? You said about adding more teams, etc., but... would there be a situation where it goes?
I mean, I have a personal bias towards this, but I would like my thesis to kick in.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. Would you envision a situation where the PSL kind of unfolds according to what you wrote in your thesis?
Yeah, so that's I would like that to happen. I think that would make sense as well commercially, where if you've spent so much time and effort in building a brand in a foreign country where there is a following for your league and there is a population that is willing to consume it, you should take advantage of it. And, don't think small, think big in terms of this. Like the PSL potentially could be the second biggest league after the IPL, right?
Yeah, of course.
And if it's managed well and if our entire market is able to grow over these next few years, not just cricket, just commercially, like sports as a business is able to grow, and the franchise are going to help, and maybe other sports are going to come into it, the sponsors and all these other commercial stakeholders are able to grow in the next 4 or 5 years, be able to sustain either four teams here and maybe two teams abroad, think big, think global, make it a league that is not just if you spend so much time and effort in building those brands in the UAE, why not make it into a global league? And, maybe not just restrict yourself to the UAE, look at other cricketing markets, look at Sri Lanka, look at Bangladesh, look at, all these other, and again, it all depends on where cricket is from here. Cricket goes from here, where the ICC kind of takes it. We're already seeing there's certain shifts happening.
Correct.
With the Big Three and all that. I'm sure you're following that closely as well. So,
it's on that
as well.
Cool. On that note, Shoaib, thank you so much for being on the show and hearty congratulations for making your dream come true.
No, thank you so much, Bosh, for being on my mind. It was great talking to you.